Good evening, everybody. Come on in. It's time for Bible study for Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We're waiting for you to tune in. That's right. We're in the book of Joshua.
Yep, we're in the 15th chapter. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to try to be ambitious tonight, and we'll see how it goes. But there's a lot of explanation here, Lady Kim, as we were just talking before we came live, about how they are really getting in the process now of distributing the land and making allotments. And this is a continuation of the last couple of chapters that we've already covered. And so if we can get through 15, it's perhaps even 16 tonight, by just kind of going over that and lifting up some of the final points in these chapters. But I'm gonna let you take the reins tonight and go ahead and run with it, and give us, huh? Isn't that what we talked about?
No, that's not what we talked
about.
You give
us direction in terms of how you want this to flow.
No, this.
All right, but on this spring day, this is what, the 11th of April. Is that right?
11th of April.
And this is the day the Lord has made. Y'all come on in. Let us know the sound is clear. We see several of you already checked in. Let us know the sound is good and that you can, you're getting a good reception. And we're going to go ahead and have prayer and get started. We're going to be in the 15th chapter of Joshua. And Lady Kim is going to share a little bit about that. And we'll see how a lot of this is really distribution. Mm-hmm. And they're going through the tribes trying to make sure that everyone has their allotment and that they're in place. Thank you, Sister Mary. Sister Mary says, sounds good. Good to see you, Minister Sherry Frazier. But let's have prayer as we prepare for this evening's Bible study. God, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day. And we thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for each person on this particular virtual Bible study and those who will hear this virtual study later. But we ask your blessings to be upon us. We pray that you will order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. And we thank you, dear Lord, that our faith is going to increase tonight because we dare to hear the word. You said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So help us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers of well, and make this lesson applicable for each of us as we move forward, even now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, you know, this is Holy Week. Can you believe it?
Oh, yes, it is.
I tell you, Palm Sunday on yesterday, and many times people have an opportunity to reflect. And they can go and trace the steps of Jesus during this final week of his ministry. And I tell you, it's an awesome experience when you just walk through those passages. And somebody might want to just use that during your devotional time this week. And it will give you a better perspective, in my opinion, on the whole resurrection event that's going to take place. But you cannot have a resurrection without a Good Friday.
That's right.
Is
Amen.
That right?
That's absolutely right. Jesus had to go to the cross.
That's right.
Before he rose from the grave, and we celebrate that Easter Sunday morning.
Okay.
So this is a high time for mm-hmm. Christians all over the world.
This is really our, this is where we hang our hat as believers around this season. I know Jesus is the reason for the season, and we emphasize that during the Christmas holidays, but this is really the reason for the season mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. because had there have not been a resurrection, had there not been a resurrection that Sunday, then it wouldn't be the same.
That's right.
But we praise God that we are recipients of the manifold blessings, and what I've been emphasizing over the past several weeks now, of the grace of God.
The grace of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so just give us a little highlight on what we talked about on yesterday as we prepare. For those of you who are just joining, we're going to be in the 15th, in the 16th chapter of Joshua tonight. And we hope that you've had an opportunity to read ahead. If not, we're going to cover some of that. We're not going to read all of it, but we'll see that it's talking about the distribution of the land and making sure all the 12 tribes are taken care of.
Amen. Well, on yesterday, your sermon topic was Grace in Motion, and it came from Luke, the 19th chapter, 37 through 40, mm-hmm. which you just got through talking about. It was Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday,
as
right.
they, as Jesus made his entry into Jerusalem. And it says, then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.
Mm-hmm.
And so grace in motion is a reflection of God's goodness.
Yeah.
And it's also a refreshing of his grace mm-hmm. and a reacquaintance of his glory. So
okay.
those are the three points that I think you tried to get to on yesterday, but didn't quite make it there. But we can see that, you know, grace in motion is a reflection of God's goodness. God
mm-hmm.
has been good.
Mm-hmm.
And because of his goodness and his grace towards us, we can show mercy and grace towards others.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Because even as you look at that text, you see that as he makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, there was a parade, and they had the palm branches, and they were making praise to God as he made his way. And there was a little disturbance on the trail, because they were boisterous, if you will, in terms of their expression. They were not low-key, but they said that they praised God with a loud voice, and they began to call him Hosanna, the highest, to the King, and making reference to him as the King. And this really upset the status quo of the Pharisees, who were also there witnessing this event. And they had a very stern reaction to what they had saw with this demonstration of this this expression of the witness of the people. And they were rejoicing because of the mighty works that they had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with us. We ought to have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to rejoice, because if we look back and count our blessings, as we indicated, and begin to name them one by one, too often we get caught up in what we don't have till we don't have time to praise God for what he's already done.
Mm-hmm.
But if we count our blessings, I dare you tonight to write them down, and you'll be surprised, as the songwriter would say, what the Lord has done. And it will allow a praise to come up in you as well.
Yes.
Because you began to reflect. You knew it was not, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that it was not your money or the people that you thought you could rely on. And when you start putting it in proper perspective, then you'll get a glimpse of God's grace in motion, even in your own life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So that was a reflection of his God's goodness, and it's a refreshing of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us a refresher, if you will, you know, just a reminder when we start putting things in proper perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good.
Anything else you'd like to comment or share as it relates to that?
No.
What? You think I covered it all just
then?
You
did. You covered it well.
Okay. So it won't be a part two. I think I want to just really kind of focus on the resurrection story Sunday, if the Lord leads me to go back to that. But I think after this, we see the week begin to unfold in what we call Holy Week. And a lot of drama, a lot of things are happening in this week. And many people are fasting and praying and asking God to give them proper perspective during this season as we move forward. And so I'm looking forward to Good Friday, as I always do. It's going to be an exciting time, and many of you have already had an opportunity to witness it. Some have not, but it's going to be virtual as well as live, and this will be our first in-person seven last words in what, over two years?
2 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we're looking forward to that. And I know that God is going to move in a powerful and a mighty way.
Amen. We're expecting God to move in a powerful way.
That's right. We're believing God to do it. And we want y'all to touch and agree with us and believe that God's going to do something exceptional, that prayers are going to be answered, that people are going to be healed, people are going to come and give their life to the Lord. And we need others to be in agreement with us. You know, oftentimes, Lady Kim and I, we are praying, and that doesn't mean that others are not praying. But when we collectively touch and agree, some powerful things happen in the spirit.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, Joshua, the 15th chapter is where we're going to land tonight. And we thank God for each of you. Go ahead and get your prayer requests ready. And if there are those who have requests, so that when we get ready to close tonight, we'll make sure that we include those in the prayer for tonight. And that service on Friday is going to be at 12 noon. That's right, Good Friday at 12 noon. But Lady Kim, in this 15th chapter, we see Caleb providing for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua, as we've already found out in the last few chapters, that he's growing old and he's reaching a place where he's getting ready. Is it blinking on your screen? Let us know if y'all still getting the reception. But we see that Caleb is now kind of helping and assisting and providing, making sure that those who are coming behind him will be taken care of. His son-in-law is taking a permanent place in the life of the history of what is happening here. And then we also see that Caleb's faith has also touched his daughter, and she had the faith to ask for what a field that had already been given to her, but she expresses that she needed more in the process. And I think Caleb's example here of his faith really helps us to be mindful of how important and how significant it is for those who are in our families and those who are in close relationship and proximity of our own families should be able to see a manifestation and a demonstration of our faith.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Sure.
And so I think one of the key things that we'll see here is, as you're going to try to read all of those verses tonight, I think it's 63 verses.
I'll read most of them, but at the end, it's just stating the names of all of those cities, I think, mm-hmm, 39 mm-hmm, cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know how those naming those cities get.
Yeah.
So I think we can omit those at the end.
Okay.
But we can read most of it.
Okay. But as you're preparing to do that, and those of you who've already glanced at that 15th chapter, you'll see what we're talking about. But one of the lessons, I think, as it really kind of puts emphasis on Caleb, and we know that Joshua and Caleb were those two of the spies who went out to seek the promised land and came back with a positive report. And Caleb now is about 85 years old, and Joshua is in probably 100 years old now as we look at this. But I think one of the key pivotal lessons for us to learn as we look at this 15th chapter is that the older generation must provide for the next generation, not only materially, but most of all, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And so senior saints, or however we want to phrase that, must be examples for believers. And I think the older we get, the more mature we are in the faith, then we need to start thinking not so much about ourselves, but more so about what we're leaving as a legacy and how we're helping to encourage those who are
Amen.
Coming behind us.
That's right.
And so the younger generation need to trust God just like we do. We can't just trust him for ourselves and expect them to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But they have to see examples of us really of expressions of our faith. And you notice, and you're well aware, and all of our families know this, that we start out with the youngest when we start praying. And even little Carter, when he doesn't know what to say, we'll push him through. We'll mm-hmm. tell him, well, say Probably this and say that. Say. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about it, he always knows when to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so, you know, it's never too early to start training them. And around the table when we all gather for meals as a family, we usually try to get one of the younger grandkids to mm-hmm. kind of lead, even though they have that. You remember how it was when we were growing up? I don't know if it was in your household or not, but it'd be a little frown, and you really, I don't know how to pray, you know. But that's good solid ground to start training these young people and encouraging them. And they have to see it in you and in us, too, so that they'll know that this is going to be a part of what they're going to be dealing with on down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we have to, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart
from it. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. Well, we're in Joshua, the 15th chapter. We've already lifted up a couple of things that we're going to see come out of this 15th chapter. There are 63 verses in this 15th chapter. Is that right?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to...
I'll tackle it until we get to probably in the 20s somewhere. They start naming the cities, I think, in 21.
Okay.
And through the end of 63.
Okay. So you'll read to 21, mm-hmm. and then we'll see what anything jumps out at us, and then we'll look at the end of the chapter. Mm-hmm. Is that a good,
good
assessment of what you're going to do?
Yes.
All right. Read, Lady Kim. Somebody say, read, Lady Kim.
15th chapter of Joshua, beginning with the first verse. So you want me to read all the way to 21, or you want me to stop? Okay.
Yeah, 21.
So,
yes, ma'am.
It's talking about the allotment for Judah.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families. The border of Edom at the wilderness of Zin, southward, was the extreme southern boundary, and their southern border began at the shore of the Salt Sea from the bay that faces southward. Then it went out to the southern side of the accent of Akrabim, passed along to Zin, ascended to the south side of Kadesh Barnea, passed along to Zeron, went up to Adar, and went around to Karka. From there, it passed toward Zimam and went out to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your southern border. That was a lot of land.
Okay, let's stop right there. That's the first five verses, right?
First four.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because this allotment is for the children of Judah mm-hmm. By their families. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And Judah was the tribe that really was. Do you remember what their distinction was?
Well, Judah means praise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they went forth, and they were the praisers.
That's right. That's right. And so they made sure that the praise went forth so that people would be prepared for what God was getting ready to do. And so if it required for them to be singers, and most of them were, if it required for them to be worshipers or whatever it was that was necessary in order to set the tone for what God was getting ready to do. And we picked that up even in our modern day worship. We have praise singers, we have worshipers, we have those who are intercessors, which are key and important roles in the life of the church, that they set the tone. And it's not so much you getting up in front of the congregation. You can do that in preparation on your way to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And so by the time you get there, you can just walk. You don't even have to say anything. You just walk around and allow your spirit to really be manifest in the process, because you have already prepared yourself before you got to the house of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're having some technical difficulties, it seems, in terms of the screen freezing, and also it looked like it's blinking off and on. But we hope that you are still getting a clear signal. And those who are on the streaming side, we hope that you are able to actually view time together without any interruptions.
Amen. Verse number 5. The east border was the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border on the northern quarter began at the bay of the sea at the mouth of Jordan. The border went up to Beth Hogla and passed north of Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bahan, the son of Reuben. Then the border went up towards Debir from the valley of Achor, and it turned northward to Gilgal, which is before the accents of Adummim, which is on the south side of the valley. The border continued towards the waters of En-Shemesh and ended at En-Rogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom to the southern slope of the Jebusite city, which is Jerusalem. The border went up to the top of the mountain that lies before the valley of Hinnom westward, which is at the end of the valley of Rephaim northward. Then the border went around from the top of the hill to the fountain of the water of Naphtali and extended to the cities of Mount Ephraim. Mm-hmm. And the border went around to Bela, which is Kirjath Jearim. Then the border turned westward from Bela to Mount Seir, passed along the side of Mount Jearim on the north, which is Chesalon, went down to Beth Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. And the border went out to the side of Akron northward. Then the border went around to Shikron, passed along the Mount Bela, and extended to Jabaneel, and the border ended at the sea. The west border was the coastline of the great sea. This is the boundary of the children of Judah all around according to their families.
Okay, let's stop there. You stopped at verse 12. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I see several comments. People are saying we still have a good connection. Mm-hmm. But we are going through chapter 15 of Joshua, for those of you who joined us after we announced that. And we see that the inheritance is being laid out, or the distribution of the land that was promised to the children of Israel. And we see Judah now is getting their allotment, and Joshua is describing to them what their territory would look like and where they would have their place in terms of the inheritance of what had been promised. And this is a promise that extended all the way back to Abraham, and it's making its way now, and the manifestation of it is coming to pass. Even after Moses, Joshua, of course, took the reins, and Caleb comes back on the scene. And now they are with the tribe of Judah. The praisers are getting their allotment and their assignments, and they are making proportions and making necessary descriptive, markers for them, so that even after they have passed off of the scene, those who would inherit that their land would still know exactly where
their borders
their
were.
Borders were.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and that's real interesting because mm-hmm. this was a large territory.
That's right. That's right.
That they covered, and I would have really liked to seen how they marked out mm-hmm. the territory up at that time, because they had no airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
They had no, they had no, what do you call those people that come out? Land surveyors,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. They didn't have those, what do you call those things they send up in the air now?
They're not Zoom, but they are...
You know what we're talking about, what I'm trying to think of.
Look like a little airplane.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any of those.
Right.
So I wonder how they determined exactly where the border lines would be during that time and how they mapped it out.
Mm-hmm.
Drones. Thank you,
that's
Sister
it.
Sherry.
Thank you so
drones,
much.
Sister Deborah.
Yeah.
Brother Robert.
But Robert.
Drones.
That's what we're trying to say. We said little airplanes.
Somebody they didn't have any drones. No, they didn't.
That's
so
right.
I wonder how they marked off such a large territory and said, okay, this is your portion of mm-hmm. land and you are to extend to, it looks like they extended to seas.
That's what I was about to say.
To water landmarks.
Right.
And
used that
it.
As the boundary for where they would stop, and then they would make the next necessary distribution from that point for
right.
the next tribe that was going to inherit their portion.
Right, right.
They talked about the Salt Sea here. Did you see that
uh-huh.
when you were reading?
Yes.
And so it's interesting because salt water, fresh water, very different in terms of, I don't know all of the, properties in terms of the healing and all of that, but it's a very different. You can't drink salt water.
Right.
And but the fresh water, you can. But we're at verse number 12 of the 15th chapter of Joshua. Thank you all so very much for helping us and getting that explanation out. And we see now that God is, he's a promise-keeping God. And even though it might take longer than anticipated for what God said he would do to come to pass, and it's obvious here because after the wilderness experience, Lady Kim, they stayed in a place for 40 years mm-hmm. until those who were, some people had to die off.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a whole generation died
off. A whole generation,
off.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. So I was making that reference to let people know that many times what God has promised he would do for you, it will show up in the lives of those who are coming behind you, your grandkids, your children. But we have to remain faithful to the promise because God has said he would, if God said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
we can't put a cap on when we want God to do what he said he would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good, good.
Okay.
You know, I saw something interesting, read something interesting about the Salt Sea when you mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
It said that the Salt Sea was extra salty, extraordinarily salty, and it was the effect from the fire and brimstone which destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Wow.
I thought that was so interesting.
That is. That
you know,
is.
That the fire and brimstone
mm-hmm.
rained down.
Mm-hmm.
So hard and so much that the Salt Sea became saltier.
Wow.
Amen. So
wow.
just an interesting thought.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the 15th chapter. Lady Kim stopped at verse number 12. She's going to read all the way through 21, and then we're just stopping to kind of bring out some final points of what we might hear. I know y'all can hear that train going by, but that's almost a common thing for it is a common thing for us, and you still hear it, but you get used to it.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. Verse number 12 of the 15th chapter of Joshua says, the 13th verse mm-hmm. of the 15th chapter of Joshua says, "Now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua. namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Shisha, Amon, and Tilmah, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there to the inhabitants of Debir. Formerly, the name of Debir was Kirjath Sheper. And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath Sheper and takes it, to him I will give Achsah, my daughter, as a wife."
Mm-hmm.
So Othniel, the son of Kenazar, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Achsah, his daughter, as a wife.
Let's stop right there, because this is interesting, isn't it?
It is.
And so I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Lady Kim, when you talked about Achnar, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
These were...
They're relatives,
huh? They were, but they,
oh, no,
these
I'm
were
sorry.
The family. These were those giants that were in the land.
That's right, yeah.
That when they went into the promised land and they saw these giants that, and they saw all of these
the
big
people.
Grapes and the people,
mm-hmm.
and this was the family of Achnar. And so Caleb had drove them and out, and the three sons of Achnar, and the children, they were still inhabitants in the land. And so he gets with Caleb's daughter. Is it his daughter or his son that he gets with him and tells him, "Now, if you drive them out, then I'm going to go ahead and give to you a wife who was, what was her name?
He put it out there to everybody. He said anybody who drives out these people, then I'll give you my daughter as your wife.
And so it probably was a situation where she was a prize worth fighting for. She was worth the risk, because they seemed to have rallied around that challenge. And we see it was, who was this? It was
Othniel,
the brother of Caleb.
Caleb's brother. So actually, it was, well, I think it was Caleb's nephew.
Okay.
It was Caleb's nephew.
The son.
Was
yeah.
the one who conquered
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so he was the one who was able to rise to the occasion and take on the challenge of driving these people farther and further back into the land, and then he was given the prize of Achsah, as his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And so we're in the 15th chapter of Joshua, and Lady Kim just read all the way through, where did you stop at? Verse 17, and we're just kind of giving clarity to what's happening here in these particular passages of scripture. If you have any comments or any questions, feel free to go ahead and put those in the chat. But most of what Lady Kim is going to read, we're going to read all the way through verse 21, and then we'll jump down to the 63rd verse and just kind of give some clarity to the rest of what's taking place here in these particular verses.
So we're at the 18th verse in the 15th chapter of Joshua. Now it was so, when she came to him, talking about Achsah,
mm-hmm.
when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs.
And go ahead.
This was the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. The cities at the limits of the tribes of the children of Israel towards the border of Edom in the south. And then they began to name all the places
mm-hmm.
That the all the city limits that the children of Judah had inherited. And it goes from verse 21 all the way through verse
62, you're right. And there were some, what did you say, 39 cities that were listed there?
I believe so, 39 mm-hmm. cities.
Right, right.
I believe that they said.
So what's happening here, and just kind of, you know, recap a little bit, is that the inheritance is being distributed. Caleb is really prominent in this whole process. His family is really being emphasized here, and we see that he's helping in terms of making sure that all of the proper allotments as well as the boundaries are established. And what we said earlier is that because of Caleb's daring faith, it's obvious that some of that rubbed off in his family, and how it sets an example and a precedence for us as believers even today to make sure that we don't just think about ourselves, but that our faith should be of such that we allow it to be manifested in the lives of our family and for those who are coming behind us. And so the older generation, and you know, we are there. We are of the older generation. We must provide for the next generation that's coming behind us. We need to leave markers. We need to leave signposts. But more importantly, we need to leave a faith that's evident of our trust in God, because they are going to be the bearers of the faith as we pass off of the scene. Mm-hmm. And if they have no indication of what to do, then they're going to lose out. And so we have a responsibility as believers to make sure that we allow our faith to be ever present in everything that we do. And I used the example of how when we gather for our meals here, some of them might not like it, but I make sure that I try to get the younger people, our grandkids, involved in doing the prayers, and they have to put the phone down. Look, Carter, he cut up real bad the other day when I told him he had to pray, and he didn't want to put his phone down. But those are some of the life lessons that will stick with them, as you indicated, when we train them up in the way they should go. Because believe it or not, and the older we get, those who are coming behind us are going to replace us, and they are going to be the ones that are going to have to carry the torch moving forward. And they shouldn't lose any ground. They should have a better perspective on what is expected of them going forward because of our example and the witness of our faith in the presence of them. Mm-hmm. When it comes to our giving, our praise, our worship, it's not just our prayers, but when it comes to us exhibiting and the expressions of our faith in God, they should see that. And it's not like we're putting on something to make sure that they see it, but they should see it. They should see it. And so that's what's going to give them what they need in order to continue to carry the bloodstained banner.
Amen. It should be a demonstration. We should demonstrate our faith openly. Mm-hmm. And I think we've already lost a huge part of a generation because we neglected to demonstrate our faith. Mm-hmm. We were so busy trying to be upwardly mobile,
right,
and to get better jobs and to do better than what our parents did, that we lost track somewhere. We got off track somewhere and allowed our faith to take second place, mm-hmm, to other things because we were so busy trying to make a dollar,
yeah,
so to speak.
Get all we can, you know? Can all we get.
Yeah, and so we
sitting on the can
neglected to really pour into our children mm-hmm. the way many of us were poured into.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, Lady Kim, even as you were reading and we were talking earlier before the study about how the nation of Israel, they had process and protocol in terms of the sons being the rightful inheritors of the property.
Right.
But the daughters were...
They didn't have any rights.
They didn't have any rights.
They didn't have any... They didn't get any property.
That's right. And so a situation came up over in Numbers when these daughters challenged that. And God allowed them to become inheritors because there were no sons. Mm-hmm. And so we see that coming out here in this particular case because Caleb's daughter... Was it his daughter or daughter-in-law? His daughter.
It was his daughter.
She had the audacity, even after Caleb had presented to her the land, she came back and said, well, no, I'm just paraphrasing a little bit. I appreciate that, but look, you're giving me the hill country, but I really need a place where I can have somewhere to water, you know, my herd and everything and make sure I have the proper irrigation so that we can have...
the crops can be watered.
Yeah, success. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so this was unusual. What verse is that? I think that's verse number 18, 17 and 18. Will you mind reading that again if you have? We're in the 15th chapter of Joshua, and we're just kind of reflecting a little bit. Lady Kim has already read 21 of those verses. And I think in verses... 17 and 18 is where we see that transpiring.
So Othniel, the son of Kenzar, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksha, his daughter, as a wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you wish? Mm-hmm. And she answered, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also springs of water. So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs.
Okay. All right. And one of the things that I think we can learn from that, do you have some questions or comments there you want to share?
Minister Sherry said, a lot of times when we worship, we may be getting something out of the fellowship, but our children may not be getting it. Mm-hmm. Else are engaged, but our children are disengaged. Mm-hmm. So what she's saying is that they're, you know, the parents are engaged, but the children are not engaged. And I think that's because they're so used to being entertained. Mm-hmm. You know, we have so many distractions okay. now. We have our phones. We have our game systems. We have the internet. We have the television. We have movies. So now our children want to be entertained.
Okay.
And so instead of focusing on the word of God being going forth, they need to be entertained. Mm-hmm. So in other words, worship now has to become more interactive for our young people. That's why we have children's church, mm-hmm. so that they can take that time, so that they can have fun and games and learn at the same time.
Okay. And many times it's also it has to do with even though they might not get it in the worship, it should be something that carries over from what they see before they get to the
right.
worship.
In their home. Right. That's right.
And so it should be a time where, because I can remember vividly, I would, on Saturday nights, it was all go. And it took us a time to figure it out, but my dad would sit us down, and he would start out with the Sunday school lesson and go over the Sunday school lesson with us. We'd be sitting around the table, and then you'll see some people, we'll see some of us nod like this, and then all of a sudden he's gone into his sermon and he's ready for Sunday. But we saw that. We had an opportunity to witness that before we got to church. It was not just what happened at church. It was what happened leading up to going to church.
Amen. Brother Anthony said, I just had to turn my TV down to get engaged.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
You have to turn off the distractions, shut mm-hmm. them out, because mm-hmm. that's what the enemy wants.
Right.
He wants you not to be able to hear the word of God and apply it to your life. So he comes at us with all kinds of distractions mm-hmm. and tricks and ploys and games.
John 10:10 is evident in that whole process, because that's his MO. That's what he wants. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So any way he can distract you, any way he can throw you off, any way he can confuse or hinder the plan of God is the way in which he, so it might come through a movie, it might come through the radio, it might come through something, it might come through cooking or whatever it might be, mm-hmm. or driving, you know. But we need to make sure that our spiritual ears are open to hear the word of God, because as a result of that, that's where our faith grows. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then James will remind us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. So we have to put into practice what we've heard.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's correct.
There's some more comments there.
Dr. Q said we have to lay aside every weight.
Okay.
Yes.
Every weight and the sin. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of what we've already shared in the first 21 verses of the 15th chapter, it's talking about the distribution of the inheritance. It's talking about the allotments that have been promised, and how Caleb is taking a major role in making sure that this happens. And then we see how his faith is being manifest in the lives of those who have come behind him, and how they have obviously learned something from seeing him in action. But one of the lessons, I think, Lady Kim, for us in these first few verses is that God wants to give all of his people their inheritance.
Mm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure there are some things that we don't possess because we don't ask. And we see that coming clear in Caleb's daughter. She was one of those women who was bold enough to ask. And as a result of her asking, she was able to receive.
Amen.
And I think over in, James? It says, you do not have because you do not ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that we release the blessings that God wants to give us by being bold enough to stand and ask for what we know is already ours.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So we have to speak it out. That's what I'm trying to get us to see.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Any comments there you want to add?
Well, yeah, like you said, they just had to speak it out. They had mm-hmm. to have faith enough, because it was their inheritance. And I think she was a smart woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if she had not asked, she wouldn't have had that for her husband and her family.
That's right. All she was asking for was for a little more territory
mm-hmm.
so that she can have some water
mm-hmm.
and help with the irrigation for the plants and the crops and for her
animals
and for her family.
Yeah.
And as a result of the ask, then God blessed her in a powerful and a mighty way by mm-hmm. granting her what she asked for.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So we have not because we ask not. So
amen.
Many times people assume that you already know what they need.
Right.
And so we have to make sure that we be expressive in what we're asking God for, just like we ask people for what we need.
Amen.
And sometimes people get a little timid in terms of being able to ask for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe in your heart and in your spirit that God has promised you a thing, it might be left up to you to take the next step. God has already put it in motion,
mm-hmm.
just like grace is being in motion even today. I see my good friend, Brother Freddie, on the line tonight. Good to see you, Brother Freddie Baskerville. That's my barber. So y'all can blame him if y'all see if it looked kind of raggedy. Y'all blame Brother Fred. But good to see you tonight, Brother Fred. And so that's part of what I believe we need to do in terms of us making sure that we release what God has already promised. And sometimes we can be sitting on the blessings that God wants to release to us because we won't open our mouths and ask for what we want God to do.
Amen.
And
I said,
Freddie said, laugh out loud. All right. Anything else there, Lady Kim?
No, I think that just about covers it, because when it goes down past that 21st verse, again, mm-hmm. it just talks about all the cities in which Judah was given control over.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about the city limits and the different cities that the lowlands and the mountains and all the way to the seas,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, in the different cities that okay. they were to take control of.
Okay. And what does verse 63 say in the 15th chapter of Joshua?
Something interesting happened when in the 63rd verse.
Okay.
It says, as for the Jebusites, mm-hmm. the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jebusites dwelled with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day.
Wow.
So they had to live together in Jerusalem.
They had to coexist.
They had to coexist
wow.
with one another. They had to find how to get along with each other because they couldn't drive them out. And
mm-hmm.
that's interesting. Yeah. I wonder why they couldn't drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
They went to all these other cities and drove people out. And, you know, that brought to mind Russia and Ukraine
okay.
for me today.
Okay.
How Russia is trying to take over Ukraine and driving the people out, but they just want to take over that country again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nothing, like people used to say, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right. That's right.
Things just transpire and happen over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to move into, and our time is getting away from us, but I think we can just kind of recap 17 because there are only, how many verses there in chapter 17? There are 18 verses. But we see here, if we look in the 17th, and we can probably just give just a brief recap of that and then maybe pick it up next week, because we said we're going to try to double down this week, and I think that happened with us in terms of covering all of 15.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? Would you
yeah.
agree?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because here in the 17th chapter, and we won't read it all, Joshua had a problem with the children of Joseph. That was Ephraim and Manasseh. And
mm-hmm.
what we see here is that we're going to detect that there's some pride and some envy and some jealousy coming forth in this particular chapter. And after all that... After everything that happened, they were really trying to make sure that Joshua understood their role and their status and who they were. They said they were a great people, and Joshua wanted to make sure that the distribution of the land was according to what God had given him and how they were going about doing it. And so as a result of this, we see that the numbers of the people had increased tremendously from when they started up until this point. And so as a matter of fact, there says that the descendants of Joseph had increased from 72,000 to 85,000, although Ephraim had 8,000 fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were trying to make sure that they were getting their proper allotment that was necessary in order for them to be successful in the land. And so Joshua had to deal with that. It was a little bit of a problem because he reverses the process in terms of how that distribution took place. The inheritance would normally go first to the older,
mm-hmm.
but he changed it and made it go to the younger,
mm-hmm.
and the same happened all the way throughout several things that we see happen. And so I think one of the key things here, if you look at that last paragraph, that one of the key things here, I think, for us to really learn from chapter 17, that it's not in your boasting, but it's in your believing that gives you the victory. And so what happened here with the children of Joseph, they were boasting about who their daddy was and who they were as a people. And Joshua saw that as a problem in terms of their pride being elevated and them trying to exalt themselves based upon what they had done in the past. But it's not your boasting, that, but your believing that gives you the victory and gains you new territory. And sometimes those who talk the most accomplish the least.
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful of that. And even though they were rightful inheritors of the land, Joshua was trying to make a distribution and appropriateness. Is that the word? Distribution of the land in terms of the appropriate space that was allotted. Some wanted a better view, if you will, a better angle or a better piece of property. You know, some probably wanted a corner lot close by the river, then others wanted up in the hill country, you know, based upon what their needs were. And so Joshua really kind of drives home the point here, as we see in that 17th chapter, that his, even though they were a great people, he gave them the land that was, I think, was in the mountains. You know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I was talking about that last before lesson number 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is not in the boasting, but in the believing that gives you the victory.
Right, right, right. All right. But we'll just kind of pick that up next week with chapter 17, and then that'll put us right on track with our study guide. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight we've covered chapter 15, that was 63 verses, and then we started 16 and 17 as well. And so we'll come back and just kind of give some recaps on that for next week.
Okay. We had some prayer requests that came as a result earlier tonight.
Okay.
They want prayers for the Williams family for strength and healing. And so we have the Williams family. And then Brother Jefferson asked for prayers for our youth, because youth suicide is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And our young people just don't have the skills that it takes to reason and cope well. So, you know, as parents, as caregivers, as teachers, as, you know, people that work with young children or young people, we have to recognize when they need mental health services.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you're right, Brother Jefferson, youth suicide is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to pray that that spirit be diminished in the name of Jesus.
That's right. All right. Any other requests that we need to lift up as we prepare to close? The hour is upon us, but we thank each of you for being on this particular study tonight, and we know that great things are yet in store. Don't forget, we're anticipating and expecting to have a powerful time in the Lord on Friday at 12 noon. It's going to be in person as well as virtual, but I believe God is going to be a mighty move and a mighty move of his presence in the sanctuary. And we're looking forward to this whole weekend, as we have several things on point for this weekend. Saturday is going to be a full Saturday as well.
Yes. Everybody come out on Saturday morning at 9:45. We're going to have our walk down Riverdale Road, carrying your cross, just a visible witness to the community of the awesome sacrifice that Jesus paid, that we might have life more abundantly. It won't take long. Just come out and be with us for an hour, okay? Walk down the street with us for an hour. It doesn't even take an hour to do the walk. Walk with us, carry a cross. If you don't want to carry a cross, just walk with us. The larger the group, the better it is. Mm-hmm. We'll meet at the church at 9:45. We'll get our crosses. We'll begin in front of the church, walk down to Range Road, and cross over the street and walk on the opposite side of the street down to Winchester, cross over the street and walk back down Riverdale to the church. So we call it carrying your cross, a visible demonstration, a visible witness of God's sacrifice that he paid on the cross. And then we're going to have our Easter egg hunt also for our young people. So bring the kids out. This is for children preschool through sixth grade. So 12 years old, preschool to 12 years old. Those big kids, you know, they can help hide the eggs if they come.
Right.
But and they'll be able to get some treats also, but they won't be able to partake in the Easter egg hunt because, you know, they're too quick. They get all the eggs before the little ones do. So
and the prayer drive.
And then we're going to have our prayer drive through also. While those events are taking place. So we need a lot of help. So come on out and help us on this weekend. It promises to be, the weather promises to be very nice, and we'll be thankful for that. We have another prayer request. We neglected to mention your brother, Earl Murray Jr., who's at the rehab facility in Savannah, Georgia.
That's
We're
right.
lifting up Brother Earl Murray Jr. in our prayers also.
Okay. All right. Well, Lady Kim, will you go ahead and do the honors of closing us out tonight in prayer?
Sure. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you. We ask that your choicest blessings be upon us as we close this Bible study. God, we pray for the Williams family for strength and healing, God.
Yes, God.
We pray for our young people who are stronger but weaker emotionally and mentally, God. We bind the spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. We lift up Brother Earl Murray Jr., God, in the rehab facility. Continue to bless and keep him. We thank you, oh God, for all that you're preparing for us to do on this coming weekend. We ask your blessings to be upon every speaker that's going to come
thank
on
you, God.
Friday
thank
during
you,
the Good
God.
Friday
thank
service.
You, God.
Prepare their hearts and minds, oh God, to speak a word from on high. And we thank you for the words that are going to fall in fertile soil, God. And we ask, oh God, for your blessing to be upon all the activities and events that we have planned for this weekend. We bless you, God. We love you, God. And we thank you for this time that we've had together. Prepare the pastor as he prepares to bring a word on Sunday,
thank
oh God,
you, God,
on Resurrection
yes,
Sunday.
Yes, God.
The day that you got up from the grave with the keys of death and hell in your hands, oh God, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for that, God. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. All right. Well, thank each of you for being on, and we certainly praise God for what he's going to do, and we know that the best is indeed yet to come.
Amen. Bye, everybody.
Be
have
blessed.
Have a blessed week. Good night.